Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey there, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. I'm Craig Israel, creative director at ThunderTech, along with my co-host, Eric Krylo.
Oh, hi.
On today's episode of Thundercast, we are going to be talking about nostalgia marketing.
Ah, take me back.
So, Eric, explain to our loyal listenership, what is nostalgia marketing?
Yeah, so I guess to first understand it, we would need to understand the concept of nostalgia in general. I'm not going to spout off a dictionary definition here, but essentially it's something that reminds us of the past and allows us to either relive a specific moment, maybe a specific feeling, and sometimes it's even putting yourself back there in your own imagination in order to experience it. And I think as far as nostalgia marketing, it's using those visuals, the sounds, the looks, the feels, in order to evoke that in people, whether it's a radio spot, a television commercial, and sometimes print, even a print piece.
Yeah, I'd agree with all that, that nostalgia marketing is nothing new. I think people have been talking about the good old days, you know, forever. But it seems like in the last year or so, we've seen more brands embracing some nostalgia marketing. And for a reason why behind that, I found a quote from a Gregory Carpenter, who's the professor of marketing strategy at the Kellogg School of Management. And he says, people become especially nostalgic when they're anxious about the present and especially the future. The past is safe because it is completely predictable. Connecting with the past through familiar, loved brands transports people to another time by evoking the same feelings they experienced so long ago.
You know, before we move ahead, I think saying the past is safe, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Time Cop would argue with you multiple times about that, but that's not the point.
So I think I think what Mr. Carpenter is saying is that, you know, when people feel that like their lives out of control, they look back to a happier time, probably a fictional time, when everything was right with the world, when things were simpler. And there's no doubt that the way the world is right now, I mean, despite we're in a presidential election, very contentious, we hear about new terrorist attacks every single day, that this is an upheaval time, right? People are very anxious and worried. And I think because of that, brands have tapped into the feelings of these good old days to help sell more stuff.
And I think that's a really interesting perspective, and certainly one that I wouldn't disagree with in terms of the motivation behind it. I also wonder if it also instills in people a sense of what's good about the product. So not only do they have positive feelings about that time in general, but maybe it even helps them to come around if it wasn't something that they were fully bought into in terms of a brand or in terms of a product. And this really just seals the deal. So I think today we're going to play just a couple examples of some recent ads that have come out, maybe a couple months old, just to sort of talk through these and determine whether or not they evoke nostalgia in us.
So we're exploring some new technology on Thundercast. We're going to have some embedded music during the podcast. Our engineer, Matt, assures us that this is going to work flawlessly. So let's find out.
All right. So first, we're going to start out with a Geico ad.
You 15% or more in car insurance.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, did you know that former pro football player Icky Woods will celebrate almost anything?
Number 44.
Get some cold cuts.
So understanding that this is audio, for those of you that haven't seen it, essentially Icky Woods was a football player in the 80s, primarily for the Bengals. Icky Woods had a touchdown dance that he called the Icky Shuffle.
I remember the Icky Shuffle, yes.
Which essentially isn't anything more than just a couple two steps and some waving of the arms, but it's certainly recognizable. And I think not only does it bring folks back to a time when football was a little dirtier, a little more aggressive, but it also kind of evokes a fun emotion, in me at least, from remembering those times. But how does something like this hit you, Craig, who's obviously not a huge sports fan, but can remember something like this?
So, yeah, I remember the Icky Shuffle, but like you say, I'm not a big sports ball guy. I never really have been. But I think, as far as the brand goes, I think this fits the Geico brand because it's kind of random. It's obviously funny. If you haven't seen the actual spot, you really have to see it to get a full appreciation for it. That even if you knew nothing about the Icky Shuffle or Icky Woods or anything about football, you can still appreciate it for just kind of a random, really funny spot.
Right. You know, I think another thing that these spots can do, or at least nostalgia marketing can contribute to, is conversation. If a person, you know, in their teens, early 20s would see this commercial now, would they know who Icky Woods was? And if they didn't, and they were watching with, let's say, their father, their mother, or someone, you know, maybe even an older brother, aunt, or an uncle, I wonder if that evokes a conversation. Like who is this guy? What is this random man doing dancing in a market? And I'm wondering if through that conversation, not only are there connections made between people, but I wonder if that's, again, goes back to what I said earlier of, does that bring you more into the brand, the more you can relate to it, or the more someone else can help you relate to it?
Because if there's one thing that we as marketers are do is we try to stress intergenerational connections, bringing families together.
Yep, and I think that that's huge. Speaking of families, we're going to...
That's a nice segue.
One of our favorite families, the Bradys.
Marsha, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football. I can't go to the dance like this.
Well, I'm sure it was an accident, sweetheart.
An eye for an eye. That's what Dad always says.
I never said that, honey.
Shut up! Time to teach Peter a lesson.
Marsha, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little hostile when you're hungry. Better? Better.
Marsha.
Jan, this isn't about you.
It never is!
Oh, my God. This is obviously for the Snickers brand. This is one of the greatest commercials I may have ever seen. And yeah, it plays on that nostalgia. And I think that that space is really good for Snickers, right? It's a candy bar. It's a throwback to feeling good, feeling like a child, and leveraging the Bradys and putting the fearsome looking Danny Trejo.
Correct.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
There with an axe. It slays me every time I see the commercial with a special kicker by what's his name?
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah,
I really like what Snickers did here because they took a very old show, but a show that still run and repeats today. So they didn't try and pull from something from back in time that wasn't still somewhat relevant today. So I like that they did that. And then the other part is I think they were able to sort of mix in the newness there mm-hmm. with Danny Trejo, with Steve Buscemi. And I think that that helps bring in the folks that may not be as familiar with the Brady Bunch but have seen it before. You know, the music, the way that the show was shot,
right.
Obviously the clothes that these folks are wearing. But I like the way that they sort of brought those two together. And obviously anyone, especially a family sitting down to watch this commercial, would certainly all have not only different nostalgic feelings, but I think that they would all be positive ones.
And as a marketer, I have a deep respect for Snickers that they didn't lose sight of the campaign, right? The campaign is you're not yourself when you're angry. This was just a fun execution of it, but it's still laddered up to the campaign that they keep using. I think the follow-up to this commercial, which was the Marilyn Monroe as played by Willem Dafoe, fell a little flat because it was just, I think it was just a little too weird, a little too out there. It, at least for me, it didn't resonate as strongly as this spot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it certainly, you know, it wasn't a disaster by any stretch, but it certainly wasn't as powerful. And I also don't think it had the same amount of reach in terms of getting everyone sort of lumped in. Because I think we all know or have heard of Marilyn Monroe, but may not be as familiar with her certain, way she went about doing things. Then I think that didn't play as well through the commercial. So this next one is an M&M's commercial. I'm sure everyone has heard this song before and everyone has seen this spot. Now, this video is a little bit long, so either throw something at me, Craig, or let me know when enough's enough.
Yep.
The M&M's man, the M&M's man, and he has a lot of love to make it all taste good. Who dunks
M&M's? This is terrible.
To the recording studio.
He has a lot of love to make it all taste good.
Singing in the moonlight, dancing in the rain.
So when this, I had heard rumors that Eminem was going to redo the Candyman song. And when I had originally heard that, I thought, well, this is going to be terrible, right? Because the original jingle was appropriate for the time, and I guess it was catchy. And I figured it was going to be a really terrible refresh of that. But I got to say that I'm pleasantly surprised. I think the remake of this song, I don't know if it's something that I'd play, you know, on repeat on my iPod, but it's still a pretty good song.
Sure, and I'm certainly not walking down the aisle to this song by any stretch, to your point, but I like the way that not only did they mesh the old with the new, but they even brought in the old commercial visuals,
right,
of the candy dancing around. And I think even what also contributes to the nostalgia in this are the sort of the newer shots when they're in the newer recording studio. They kept the M&Ms, it's the red guy and it's the yellow guy. So the two M&Ms you always see,
Plain and Peanut.
Correct. Yes. Those folks. You think are they in a relationship? Is that like a husband and a wife for those two dudes?
I think that's the subtext. Yeah.
I gotcha. But I like that. I like how they brought in even that, so that consistency. But taking the old, taking the new, and then throwing that consistency in there. But the real question I have for you is: a brand as big as M&M's, is something like this really going to move the needle, or is this a almost pride spot where they're like, "Hey, we just want to do something for us to merge the old, to merge the new"? Because I don't think that this is going to move a lot of candy.
Yeah, I. That's a great question, that when you have a self-perpetuating brand like M&M's, unless you have a really impactful contest, like you may remember several years ago now, they had the contest where I think they had a special colored M&M in the bag, and if you got it, you won $10 million or something. I think that increased candy sales. But short of that, I don't know if any individual marketing campaign is really going to make a negligible difference on a brand as strong as M&M's, right? People buy M&M's because they want M&M's. People aren't going in there deciding in the aisle if it's M&M's or it's Reese's Pieces or it's Skittles, right? I think it's hard for brands like that. So I think why they advertise is just to keep in that consideration set, just keep people thinking about M&M's so that they don't reach for, you know, a Snickers or something completely different.
Right. And I think you're probably right about that. And it's certainly something that I've thought about. And another thing I've thought about as you were going through that is the concept of how you say Reese's Pieces. It seemed like you're a Reese Pieces kind of guy.
What did I say? Reese's?
Reese's
Pieces?
I got to be honest and say that the folks that are the Reese's Pieces folks drive me insane.
Did I say that?
Insane. No, you didn't. You think you may have hit the Reese, but you got the Pieces part correct.
Okay, well.
Just want to keep everybody honest out there. I'm sure we're going to get an email or two about that, but it happens. So the last one we have here today is one of the newest spots that we have. It's a spot for Spotify. Turn
around, look at what you see.
I couldn't love this more.
I can't believe after all these years, people are still listening to this song.
Me neither.
So, of course, for everybody who was born more or less than 20 years ago, this is the boy and his flying dragon from the Neverending Story, and it's just the song alone is so nostalgic to me. It takes me immediately back to the 80s when this first came out, when I was about, you know, the age of that kid, or well, probably no, that's a lie, I was older, but I love that movie, right? And using this and using the same actors, because I've read about this, it's the same kid now grown up. It's the same voice actor playing the dragon thing.
Falcor,
yes, of course. Now, I have to admit that you ruined it for me a little bit by asking me if I had actually seen the movie anytime recently, and I haven't, right? I've seen bits and pieces of it maybe on cable, but you're telling me it doesn't hold up.
It doesn't, and that's a really depressing. You know, I really like this spot. It made me feel feelings, but one of the feelings it made me feel was I probably saw Neverending Story a year ago, a year and a half ago, from start to finish, and it was shit.
Oh, that's too
and,
bad.
And it's not so much just the effects as much as it is, you know, there's it's acted really poorly.
But a lot of the you can't tell me you didn't shed a tear when that horse sunk into the swamp.
Well, I think we all lost a little bit of ourselves when the horse was in the quicksand. Now I'm going to think of the horse's name, and I'm sure our audience is yelling it at me at the moment, because he's crying, and it's just like, why are you crying?
It's the worst.
Yeah, I'll think of it. But either way, it certainly didn't stop me. You know, obviously it didn't stop me from feeling the feelings when I saw this commercial. But anyone out there that has an idea to watch The NeverEnding Story again, if it's been a while since you've seen it or you haven't seen it since you were a kid, do not watch it. It will ruin it for you. But so, I think to end my portion of this here, I think Spotify hit the nail on the head. I think they're one of the few, at least from the examples today, that targeted a specific age range.
Right.
In terms of who they're going after, because I think that is the age range of folks that use Spotify. So I think that they are the most targeted in terms of their nostalgia marketing.
Yeah, I think it's another interesting point is with Spotify that they are calling back things that are pure nostalgia, that even if it doesn't hold up like this movie does today, you still have good memories of it, and that's enough. It doesn't matter if it's still a fine piece of cinema or not. A couple of the brands I wanted to talk about that have used nostalgia marketing, Wendy's, you know, restaurants. I think Wendy's has played with nostalgia off and on for years. Dave Thomas is obviously the founder of Wendy's, always had that kind of throwback feel to it, that he was just this nice old guy who was flipping burgers. They've brought in the actual Wendy. I think there's some nice nostalgia there. So as a brand, they've played with it off and on for years.
Sure. And what I like about them, especially when you look at the sort of industry of fast food, that is a very relatable industry, obviously, because fast food restaurants pop up everywhere. But there's so much history there because of the different locations, because of where it started, how it started, and really fast food being a movement. It obviously wasn't something that's always been around, but I like the way that that Wendy's has been able to sort of intermix that history without, you know, bringing in a little girl with red hair every single time.
Right.
Because as I'm sure, Craig, you might agree. Actually, you know, you might not agree. But for me, redheads only take you so far.
So, yes, yeah, since my wife is a redhead, I'm going to say I will have to kindly disagree with you, sir. And final brand, talk about nostalgia, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC. They've recently brought back the Colonel. There was a bit of I don't want to say a hoopla, but there was a bit of pushback that some people thought it was disrespectful to the memory of the Colonel, who, of course, was a real person. But what are your thoughts? Is it a good marketing move? Is it just kind of creepy?
It's a little strange the way it's being executed, because they're not really making many references to the past outside of the Colonel's actual what he's wearing. I like it. I think it's an interesting approach, but I do wonder if it borders on the edge of nostalgia versus not nostalgia. Because again, the only thing that they're really pulling from the past is maybe the logo and what the Colonel is actually wearing. Where I think that they're starting to take it in a different direction that may prove that it's not nostalgia marketing is how they're changing the Colonel's who plays the Colonel.
Yeah.
And I think obviously now we realize that this is planned. Whereas when it went from Daryl Hammond to Norm MacDonald, it almost seemed like Hammond had contract issues, and all of a sudden it's Norm MacDonald now.
Yeah.
But now it's that super pale guy,
Jim Gaffigan.
Yes, Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this because, like you, at first I didn't understand the switch between actors. But with the most recent, with Jim Gaffigan, they've made mention of it, that you know, there was an imposter, that, you know, I had a dream that somebody else was trying to portray me. So I think you're right that KFC started dabbling with nostalgia, but now they're creating this longer narrative that I'm really interested, not just as not just as a marketer, but as a fan of fried chicken, to see where they're going to take it next. My hope is that the next person playing the Colonel will be like Roseanne Barr.
Okay.
Just someone totally unexpected and bizarre, and just see how far they can take this weird narrative.
Yeah, it certainly would be interesting. Now, I think one of the questions that I have, and maybe this will help round out this whole topic, talked a little bit about it earlier in terms of the younger generation who may not be familiar with some of these nostalgic references. If they're watching with their family members, you know, their parents or aunts, uncles, whoever, they can get that knowledge, I think, directly from there. Mm-hmm. But if it's something, you know, that they see, you know, if it's a Spotify spot while they're listening to Spotify, or it's a YouTube video that they just saw, do you feel like folks, and I guess I don't want to say children, but young adults, do you think that if they don't know a reference, because they have these tools at their fingertips now, are they going out and researching these to really get the true meaning? Or do you think they're taking it as face value and just accepting that spot for what it is?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I don't think anybody's going to research a commercial. If they don't get it, they're just going to let it pass by and focus on the next thing, unless they're really motivated to look it up for some reason. But that's why I think brands need to kind of play that careful balance, that if people don't get the reference, that they can still get something out of the spot. The Spotify spot's a good example, is that if I had never seen the NeverEnding Story, or if I was 20 years old and I didn't get the reference, it's still clear from the context that, okay, this is invoking something from years ago, and you know, even though I don't know the reference, I get the message that, you know, we still have it, that Spotify is this central source for all of this music, you know, old and new. So I think that wraps up the episode for today.
One thing.
Oh, no.
The horse's name was Artax.
Artax.
Either Artex or Artax, one of those two.
So if you need a good cry, even if you've never seen the movie, go YouTube that spot and have a hanky nearby. So as always, if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, you can subscribe to Thundercast either through iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. A reminder that we're putting together our exciting mid-year trends publication right now that'll cover a lot of interesting emerging marketing trends. If there's something you've heard about and you want to know more about, or some burning topic, let us know, and maybe we'll put it in our next publication. You can always tweet us at ThunderTech, or you can come to our website, thundertech.com, contact us that way. And I'd be remiss not to mention that if you like this podcast, you can find our entire library of podcasts at thundertech.com/podcast. That's it for today. Thanks.